kind of cure. It doesn't matter who the individual is, except that it mattered critically when that individual was General Eisenhower.
Sure.
That started it. And from that time on, the figure of Sacure is one in which they take great confidence. And to see that you are discussing the matter of security in Europe with Sacure will be a calming and a steadying and a strengthening influence there, I believe.
One of the things, Andy, we have to realize is that, and I'm not bitch about these people,
not to let them play one of us against another. And they'll do this, that you can already see that they're looking for the issues on which to do this. But if we go into it that way, I think that we can have here a constructive avenue of negotiation that can go on for a long, long time. And we may be able to achieve things in phases. But simply, you've opened up the route of negotiations with these people, and I think this is one of the constructive and stabilizing things in the whole world today, that this does exist. So we support NBFR. I might just say that my staffs, we're not inclined to support it, but I've talked to them all, and this is the stand of our headquarters, and they support me in it now. And we're for it in principle. We're going to study all of these, and frankly, I'm not interested in trying to analyze it down to the last tank or the last plane. That's not the name of the game. The name of the game is this confidence and the sense of security and stability that comes out. Well, that's one. Another development that's going on here, and that I think is a healthy one and that we should push, is the gradual development toward military unity in Europe, where they take on more, they rationalize their forces, they take on more of the burden in the sense of generating stronger forces of their own, more economical forces that can be employed with more flexibility, where we now have all these different types. So on, they should unify themselves on the military side, and as they do that, that will introduce a new factor. I'm not proposing any bug out or drastic cut on the U.S. side, but there are these evolutionary possibilities I think that we should visualize as we look down the road. We have new technology coming in, the smart bombs. These have really shifted the balance of forces, as well demonstrated out there in Vietnam. The new anti-tank means, so that here we help to balance out that equation. The application of the helicopter in that environment. It's a tricky question, but we are working in that again in that area. And out of this, over a period of time, I think we can see some evolution in it and some dynamic. There are proposals, most of which are pretty superficial and don't have substance to them, for force restructuring. As I say, most of them are really a fig leaf for making cuts that ought not to be made. But some of them, I think, do represent changes that ought to be made with the modernization and the introduction of new technology. Well, out of all this, then, I think as we look down the road, we ought not to think of being rigid on our present, trying just to hold rigidly to what we've got at the present time, but gradually to let this evolve and to guide its evolution in a way that will maintain the confidence, but will bring us to a lower level, in your term, a lower level of confrontation. We get stability out of that, and that's the name of the game for us. As we do this, I think that the meshing of how we work with NATO with how we work with the Soviet Union will be extremely important. And as I say, just this little session here today will have a restorative effect, and it will be helpful in NATO in keeping up the sense of consultation, keeping up the sense of U.S. ties to NATO. They'll be very sensitive about it. I don't care about their sensitivity, but I would care if this somehow damaged the alliance and its effectiveness. And because I think that an effective alliance is in the common interest of all of us.
Absolutely. And that's what comes first, as far as I'm concerned. That's why I say that in your conversations with these people about their pitching around about Vietnam, that as far as I'm concerned, that simply perhaps impairs a personal relationship. But I did not
carefully developed than in the past. And I think, and I told Elliot this morning, that I think we're about to the point where it may be possible to think our way through this and take a position on these weapons. There are new technological possibilities. There are requirements for modernization and so on. And all of this, I think, can be a major effort extending over the next year, year and a half. But it's got to be thought through before we start rushing out and doing various things. We've had too many people doing too many different things, I think, in the past. With the French, that's the third major area that I give my attention to. I continue to work with them to improve the relationship within the decisions of De Gaulle to extend the areas of cooperation on the military side, right up as far as Debray will allow that to happen. He's the goalkeeper in the term that I use. But the main thrust of this, now, interestingly, comes from the French military. And I work with them very quietly and around the corner.
They're sort of pushing.
And they push for a good NATO tie and to enlarge the areas of cooperation. We have improved the whole tone of that thing a great deal, and this has been one of my major lines of effort.
That's good.
You've got a very capable man now down in Spain, in Admiral
Rivero.
He's working well with the Spanish. This is a very tender area where it's hard to make progress, but we are finding specific and concrete ways of making progress in NATO vis-a-vis Spain, which again I think is one of the very important things we should do. And I was interested in talking to Elliot Richardson this morning that he thinks he's strong for this. He thinks this is an area that we ought to continue to move on. I sit on that joint committee of Lopez Bravo, Rivero, General Diaz Alegría, and myself, or Virginal, my deputy, and we talk through our problems, and this gives us a good tie-in and a good communication with the Spanish. And I think this is an important area. Incidentally, it is not too early to start thinking about the next arrangement with the Spanish, because this one, I think, extends only for about another year, year and a half.
They're getting busy on it now, so we don't have a big plan.
Yeah,
so they'll hold us up.
I saw something the other day that suggests that maybe their interest may be more in the political field for the next go-around rather than in the in aid. They now have $5 billion in foreign exchange.
Good place to have it.
And they're conscious that,
man, if we want theirs as soon as Franklin goes, is to get them the hell in the nail.
Exactly.
To Europe. They belong there.
And I think that even before that, we can do some preparatory things. And
I want to push that as hard as we can. The Spanish knock your dam, push that every time we got an opportunity.
Right.
While it's on my mind, I saw Rumsfeld off.
Oh, yeah. that she was, and she must take care there.
Look, you remember though, she's always had this, this business manager. She, from a frankly, as far as her spirit is concerned, it's a hell of a lot better than it was when she was in the White House.
Exactly.
She's outgoing. She's willing to talk to people. She wants to do things. We don't hear.
We stay close. We see her from time to time. In fact, when we're back in April, we were going to stay with her up there, but she said she'll be down at Augusta at that time, so I'll miss her then. But she's always after us to come and stay with her up at Gettysburg, and we'll do that. But we're just delighted at the way she's into things. And
great.
And, you know, that's a face that makes Americans happy when they see a picture of maybe doing something.
Yeah.
And particularly when they see that you're seeing that she's in things and so on. That's one of the good things in America.
Have you read, incidentally, had a chance to read the Saul Farrelly book, 20 Years?
No, I saw it. Saw a reference to it, and I'll. Matter of fact, I want to.
From the 11th chapter on, it's very important because it has to do with, as I told Reagan, I gave him, and I said, don't read the terms of its criticism of Kennedy. That'd be important. But it tells us a great deal about U.S. foreign policy, the raising of expectations, and all that fraud. Very much a good picture. Copy that Kennedy book, too. The Farrelly book. Anyway, what I was going to say is that, and also I don't agree with his views about Cuba and a few other things. But Dan, he cuts the thesis of Kennedy's foreign policy and finally gets Eisenhower's in some perspective.
Well,
and builds Eisenhower.
I was fascinated to watch how the opinion developed through the middle and toward the end of last year.
Yeah.
We could get it over there, and I could see what was happening in the United States here. And the feeling that people had that their business in the foreign field was being done seriously, skillfully, maturely, and so on, you could see that rising constantly. And this slapdash
crisis
appeal to the galleries and so on that we had during those years, and throwing away any mechanism or any real organized means of dealing with these terribly complicated
mistakes
and getting out of one by getting deeper into the next one.
I always try to find something to do with phrasing for the Cuban confrontation as being as much as dark and so forth. Well, as a matter of fact, that was a damn risk. You got about a 20-to-1 advantage over an enemy. You know, goddamn well, he's not going to confront you. The second point is, having confronted, you dropped the ball. What do we get out of it?
Well, on the third
point, we risked everything and got everything out and gave that damn Castro a perfect sanctuary.
I would make a third point, and that is, we should never have gotten into it. And had there been a firm and coherent line, I don't think they're going to move those in while you're here, and they did move them in while General Eisenhower
was here. We stopped them 3 or 4 times. They're going to move the submarine out. We said we won't tolerate it. And also, frankly, their ship of the, if you will, the Bay of Pigs operation would work to control a couple of planes over the place. That's all you need. Some simple as that. Or either that you should have done. One of the two.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
You remember General Eisenhower at the time of the Guatemala affair? Some people that were engaged in that got cold feet.
Yeah.
And he said the time to have thought of that was before we started. We're not going to turn back now.
Same with regard to the Middle East crisis. When he said, the Dulles, he says, what's the second step? Dulles put in, he said, well, if you take the first step, suppose it doesn't turn out the way you expect, are you prepared for the second step? And Dulles called and said, yes, we never take it. But you've got to know what the second step is. Well, you know, They didn't get it.